281 is our first hymn to sing together this morning, and we sort of start on, I guess this song, Jesus Saves, is in the category sort of like a theme song with victory in Jesus. It's kind of at the heart of the church and the gospel. So 281, Jesus Saves. Find your place. Let's stand and let's sing together this great hymn. Bill, please come and lead us.
281. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land, climb the steeps and cross the waves. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Walked it on the rolling tide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea, echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless life, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing it triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory, Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Amen. Amen. Good singing. All right, 55. At the cross, number 55.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done, he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide, and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
All God's people said, amen. Man, these are some good words. Let's just slow down and think about this a little bit. Go to verse 3. Verse 3. Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in. When Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creature's sin. Jesus was put on the cross 9 a.m. Suffered greatly before he ever arrived at the cross and was crucified. The suffering began in the garden. Forsaken by his disciples. He asked the Father that the cup be taken away. He knew what was coming, and he knew it would be bitter. The sinless Son of God would partake and taste of the awful, dreadful, nasty consequences and guilt and shame of sin. You know, sin makes you feel guilty. He drank all the guilt, all the guilt, all the guilt. Just in, yeah, amen, amen. I mean, in the garden, he suffered tremendously for 3 hours. At that one point, he sweat great drops of blood. And the load of sin on that human body, though he was God, the blood vessels burst. And the blood entered the sweat glands in great drops of blood. He bled for us in the garden before a nail was ever driven. Then he arrived at the cross and was crucified, and all the prophecies were fulfilled in that one crucifixion. And it says, there they crucified him. There, Mount Calvary. They, the Roman soldiers, the Jews, the nation of Israel, us. There they crucified. Nails in the hands, feet. Drove him all the way through, didn't resist. He just leaned over during the crucifixion and says, Father, forgive them. They don't have a clue of what they're doing. And then from 9 to 12, immense suffering. God loaded up the body of the Lord Jesus Christ with all the sin. And he carried, the Bible says, in his body on the tree all of our sin. But at high noon, one of the strangest things that has ever happened in human history, with the sun, occurred. And God shut down the sun at noon. And it was such a dark time in human history that the Prince of Life, that the Lord of Glory, would die for humanity. God says, this is a dark moment, even though it's going to be followed by a glorious moment. And God shut the lights off from 12 to 3. And I don't know how dark it was. I don't know if it was groping darkness. I don't know if the scene of the cross disappeared. I don't know if it was just, but God shut the sun down. And verse 3 says, well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in the glory of the sun. Shut down for 3 hours. When Christ, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature's sin. And praise God that, you know, the lights came back on at 3 o'clock. Jesus said, it is finished. He died, and God turned the lights back on at 3 o'clock. But verse 3, we're supposed to stop and think about this on the Lord's Day. We've been thinking about everything else throughout the week, and God says, come to my house and think about my son. Or think about your Savior. And that's what we're doing here. I want us to sing again, Bill, verse 3. Just think about, well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creature sin. And then just lift it up on the chorus and sing out of your soul. Okay? Let's sing verse 3. Look at the words. Carry it out on the chorus. And then we'll look at verse 4 in just a second. Let's sing verse 3 again, Bill.
Well, might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Once we're saved, and once we reflect on how great that sacrifice was, verse 4 says, how do you ever repay such a debt? But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. You know, we don't have to be crucified. We don't have to cry deep tears of anguish because the suffering is over. He suffered. Certain parts of the world, they crucify themselves. They go through all of that again. They do that in the Philippines. They do it in different parts of the country. And they do self-flagellation, and they whip themselves and they beat themselves until they bleed. Isaac Watts says, the suffering's done. The suffering's done. The suffering's done, and we don't need to have drops of grief. But I do owe a debt of love. His death for me causes me to owe a magnificent amount of love right back to him. If he died for all, then those that live should, those that were dead and do live, we ought to live for him. I owe him my life, my love. Here, Lord, I give myself away. This is all that I can do. He gave himself for us, and we are to give ourselves for him. Let's sing verse 4 again. Look at the words. Bill, lead us in this great song.
But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Again, all God's people said, amen. Amen. These songs help get your mind focused upon the Lord, and let's go before his presence this morning. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for whatever our hearts have already experienced in just seeing one another, fellowshipping together, singing these great songs, reflecting back and remembering, Lord, the wonderful death of Jesus Christ on that cross for our sins, in his body, on the tree. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking our place, being our substitute, voluntarily, but gladly. Thank you for all, Lord, the suffering that you've done for us. Lord, we're so glad that you rose the third day and paid for sin. And Lord, that we can be saved, we can be justified, we can be glorified. Lord, one day we're going to be with you and we're going to be like you. Lord, the sin nature is going to be gone. No more thoughts of sin will enter our mind. Lord, this old fleshly body will be gone. Lord, in this body we go through, Paul said in Romans 7 or 8 that the motions of sin are conducted in our body. sin occurs in our mind, but then our body carries out the ideas. And God, we praise you now that your word says that one day we're going to be glorified and sanctified. We're going to be like you. We're going to see you as you are, but we are going to be like you. Well, that's a lot for me to process. That's a lot for us to think about. We praise you in advance. We thank you in retrospect of the cross. We thank you in advance for our eternal and glorious condition that'll be just like Christ with you forever. We're so glad that you live forever, that you have the power of an endless life to intercede for us while we live and while you live throughout all of the ages to come. Receive honor unto thyself today. May we see Christ exalted and lifted high. May he nourish hearts, encourage hearts, teach hearts what you have for us today. We ask these things in Christ's name and for Christ's sake. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to have the announcements here in just a minute, and then we'll have the offering and special music and a time of God's Word. But Brother Kevin is going to come and give us some announcements. So if you have your bulletin, pull it out, and he's going to highlight some things for us.
Thank you, Pastor, and good morning, everyone. We are glad to have each and every one here. And I am excited when a service starts this way that we can just have our own mini service, just singing songs and that the songs move. I just want to share with you, Pastor, when you were gone and we missed you, I tried to do that, to imitate you. I did not come close, but I love it. It's so near to my heart and precious that when a song moves, and I just love to reflect on those verses, and it just thrills my heart. And so that was just a joy. I feel like we could just have an invitation and go home. But thank goodness we've got plenty to go here. So if you follow along in your bulletins here this morning, we have our morning message here. And then praise the Lord. You'll see there is a 6 o'clock service also. And you're not going to want to miss that. You don't want to not be a part of that. God has invited you out to that and a personal invitation. And so we want you to be a part of that. Be where God would want you to be. And make sure you're here tonight for that. Great title. I'm excited about that. God gave him another heart. I'm just excited to hear what God has laid on Pastor's heart about that. So we will be having a meeting after tonight's service. If you plan on working in the Vacation Bible School this year, we need all the people that are going to be a part of that to be attending and be a part of that meeting here. And then please, if you've seen on the backboard, we have the bear up, a new letter is up on the board back there. Please take time to read that. We're praying for little Andrew, who has cancer, and he's going through some tough stuff right now. As I read that letter, it's very hard to read. But then it's also a joy to read because God has answered some prayers already. And so we thank God for that. And we just need to, it talks about the doctors are hopeful. And we need to let the doctors know that God does answer prayers. And so we just need to pray that this little boy is miraculously cured and that he comes around. And just to read their testimony, these are folks that are out on deputation and they're trying to gain support and they're trying to do things for the Lord, trying to serve them. And then their little boy gets sick and they need answered prayer. They need people praying for them. So we're asking that you make that a special point in your daily prayer life, that you would lift them up, specifically little Andrew, for his treatment. He's having some effects from the treatment, and so we want to lift him up. But there's a great report back there. He's doing well. We just want to continue to pray for them. So if you'd make that a part of your prayer life, we would appreciate that. Tonight we'll be having orchestra practice at 5:30. And then Tuesday, there'll be prayer meeting at 10 a.m. If you're able to attend that, that would be a great blessing. And Wednesday evening service, there's another invitation there. You're welcome to come out on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Be a part of the service. We'd love to have you come out. Thursday, men's prayer meeting at 6 a.m. If you can attend that, that would be a great blessing. And then our vacation Bible school is coming quicker than we can imagine. And it is almost upon us, and there is a lot going on this summer, I understand. But we do need prayer. We need prayer for this. Pray for families' hearts to be softened and young people as they come out. We want this to just be a great blessing and the glory to go to God. So if you would just pray for that, June 23rd through the 26th, pray for weather. We need to pray that these mosquitoes will disappear as they are ferocious out there. So please be in prayer for the theme, Arrow Island, Choosing God's Way, and that God would get the glory in all of this. And so just lift that up if you would. We had a wonderful time yesterday. We had Brother Christian graduated his home school. And what a blessing it was. I'd like to thank the Medell family for allowing us to be a part of that. It went so well. It was so special. It challenged me. As being a homeschooler, sometimes it is tough. There's sacrifices. And Greg gave such a challenge to me and just encouraged my heart, Brother Greg. I thank you for that. And encouraged my heart just that it is the right thing to be doing and to rearing these kids up. And then he got to the end and he talked about how he's only got 6 more years, and I got real depressed and I was sad and I was like, it goes too fast. And so Mom and Dad, it was a wonderful job. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of that. We are so happy for you guys, and pray. We have graduations coming up next week also. Kids are growing up too fast. We have Millie, Wesley are going to have a graduation next Saturday at 11. Be here at the church, and please be in prayer for that, and clear off your calendars. It will be a wonderful time. We're excited for these young people. Keep these young people in your prayers. So many decisions, and just that they would be able to follow God's will and clearly, and that'd be such a great blessing. Sarah is graduating on the 28th. That'll be at their house in Holland, and so be in prayer for that, that things would go well there also. And then the Youth Congress, as Pastor had mentioned this morning, before Sunday school, there's a lot of young people signed up for this. So pray for these young people. Pray for the Hutchisons as they get ready to go down, and that God would lead there. And then many birthdays, anniversaries. Brother Jake Merfield is turning 21. Is it this way? No, he's not 21. He's a little bit older than that. We are glad to have him a part of this church, and Monday will be his birthday. Make sure you wish him a happy birthday. Greg and Chris Medell having an anniversary on Tuesday. And then the Wittens are having a anniversary on Tuesday. Sounds like things are going well for them over in England. Please keep them in your prayers and maybe send them a little note wishing them a happy anniversary. Brother Greg Ryder is getting a year older here on Friday, and he's excited. And he's got gifts for everyone to spread out, so make sure you get your gift from him. And Deb Davis on Saturday is having a birthday, so lift her up in prayer. It was great to see Troy here. Please keep them in your prayers also. And then Shelley and Bill having an anniversary next Sunday, and praise the Lord. And then Ryan Ruppel, if you can keep him in your prayers, send him. They are the missionary of the week. If you'll see down there on the bottom, make sure that you wish him a happy birthday and that we'll continue to pray for them. Follow along in our Bible reading schedule there as we continue to go through 1 Samuel. What a blessing. And so that's all I have for announcements here this morning, and I'll turn it back to Pastor here.
Kevin, I forgot to tell you that I wanted you and Amy to help us this year take all the kids down. And I meant to talk to you privately, but maybe that'll. Jake Merfeld, would you go retrieve your 2 children and bring them up here, please? Okay? That would be Michelle and JJ. How many of you are caught up on your Bible reading? Anybody caught up, you're there, you're doing it every day, you're doing fine. Let me see your hand again. Come on now. Good job. How many of you are close? Anybody getting close? Don't give up. If you haven't read in a while, just start tomorrow with God's Word, and it'll be a blessing to your heart. Man, where's Austin? Where's Austin? We're glad to have Austin here for a couple of days, and we're glad he's serving our country down there in Carolina. And Jesse, where's Jesse? Welcome to the great state of Michigan. I have been through her town probably 1,000 times, Newport, North Carolina. And I says, Jesse, have you ever been to Michigan before? She said, it's my first time to cross the Mason-Dixon. And I says, aren't you shocked that we have green trees and flowers and nice people? You know, there are real people up here. There are churches up here that still believe God's word. But it's a delight to meet you and to have you here. And so we're glad to have all of you here today, but I want to highlight a couple of those things. I want you to turn to Proverbs 3:27 for just a second. I want to read a verse. Proverbs 3:27. The Word of God says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. I want this thing on, guys, so I can control this. A little high. Bring it down. All right, good. A little more. Hi, guys. Come on up here. Come here. How you guys doing? Come here. Oh, how are you? We're friends. You guys doing okay? I'm glad to see you. Who are all those people out there? Oh, I don't know who those people are. I want to introduce to you and remind you of a couple of really, really sweethearts in this church. And I'll let you down, okay? JJ and Michaela. I love these kids. You are so blessed. Jake, come on up here. You know, Jake went through a great need in his life, and he's working, and he needed somebody to watch these kids. Aaron and Carly, please come here. Aaron, would you come? And if your wife is in the nursery, go grab Carly quick. I didn't notice she wasn't there. You know, Jake's holding on a job, trying to follow the Lord, and he's been steady, my friends. He's been steady to serve the Lord. Jake doesn't miss a church service. It's Jake's life has gotten a little tougher, but his spiritual life has gotten a whole lot stronger. We commend you again, you know, for serving the Lord. And so these kids had to have a place to stay every day. Every single morning, they would drop off these precious little kids at Carly and Aaron's home. What time did you drop the kids off? 5:30. About 5:30 every morning. I want you to, Aaron and Carly, come here. Come here. We just read a verse that says you're supposed to give honor unto whom honor is due. Aaron, Carly, I don't have any idea how you did this. You gave her permission to do this. You're a very generous man. You're a very sacrificial woman. Every day at 5:30, he dropped these little kids off. I don't know how many months you did this. They did you an incredible, incredible service. This is rare stuff. This is rare stuff. So, let's all come over here. Okay, JJ, come here, boy. Come here, son. Over here. Come on, over here. Aaron and Carly, I want you to come over here. You may have already cared for this, but we want to... Do you have new glasses on? How old are your glasses?
I'm about 5 years old.
5 years old. Come here. Come here, Carly. Come here, Aaron. Did you take your driver's license? Or are you in the process of getting your license?
Trying to.
Okay. Do you need glasses?
I believe so.
Okay. We are going to send you guys to the eye doctor and get you both an eye exam and two pair of glasses. Okay? That is a small token in appreciation for what you've did. This is a token means it's a small act of appreciation. I want you to give this young couple a big round of applause. Okay? So I'm just gonna give you that card, and then we'll fix you up after the service. And we just want to say thank you. You guys are a blessing to us. Your family's a blessing to us. And JJ, you want to help me preach? Maybe I ought to try it sometimes. Sometimes people look at me like I'm weird. Maybe I should try preaching down here sometime. You guys are a blessing. Thank you, guys. Jake, keep living for the Lord. And let's pray. Let's just keep praying for these kids and the whole situation. Thank you, guys. You can go back to your to your class. Yeah, thank you. I'm sure the teacher appreciates that disruption. Very good. Good luck getting them back in class. Ushers, come. Let's receive the offering this morning. And it's a privilege to be able to give to the Lord's work. And Brother Olson handed me the financial report again. And we set aside some money for the building fund. Folks already given to that. We had an architect come 2 months ago about building out here. Haven't heard from him, so I got Levi on the trail. Levi is going to shake him loose and find out what happened. But pray about what God would have us to do. God is blessing this church through you, and it's a great blessing. Brother Greg, it's good to see you again. And we were gone for a couple of weeks, then he was gone. And I was like, Greg, what are you trying to do? Put me through withdrawals? And Greg's a happy guy, loves the Lord, and let's pray for the offering today.
Will you all pray with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to give you the honor and glory today. And thank you for allowing us to come and gather in your home, or not your home, I'm sorry, but in your house.
Yes.
To worship you, Lord. Lord, yes. We thank you for the many wonderful people that we are allowed to be around that do so many good things in your name, Lord. Lord, and I just pray that you will give us the strength to follow in those footsteps. And I pray that you'll use this honor or the tithe and the offering for your honor and glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Postpone the song, okay? Maybe at the end of the service. I want you to find your Bibles. Junior church can be dismissed. We're going to go to 1 Samuel 9 in just a minute here. 1 Samuel 9. And we'll do that, Jennifer, we'll do that for the invitation time, okay? So, Amy, we'll have that special number for the invitation time. Will that work? So have God's Word open to 1 Samuel chapter 9. I'm going to have to hurry this morning, so I want you to listen carefully. 1 Samuel 9, I'm tempted to not read this, but I often joke with my kids when I hear preachers say, for sake of time, I'm not going to read God's Word. And I say, our word's so important that we're going to skip the reading of God's Word. And so I'm going to read a lengthy portion of 1 Samuel 9 and then make a few comments about Saul's good beginnings and how that he had come from a nearly extinct, wiped out tribe. And he thought if God was going to choose anybody, he would be the last person on the face of the earth. And God would take him from his tribe from near extinction to a place of grand distinction. And God wants to do that in all of our lives. You know, life gets confusing sometimes and our hearts drift. And we get to the place where we think God can't use us in a mighty way again. This is one of the most encouraging chapters in all of the book of 1 Samuel. And so let's read about the background, who Saul was, who his dad was, and such. Verse 1. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bacharath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalisha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servants that was with him, come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man, and all that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer, for he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, he is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city. For there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him. Before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice. And afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him. And they went up into the city. And when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel. that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, Behold the man whom I spake to thee of, the same shall rule, reign over my people. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me into the high place, for ye shall eat with me today and tomorrow. I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on thy father's house? And Saul answered and said, Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? In my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? Father in heaven, I pray that these words of yours that are unlike any other words will teach us today how much you want to use folks that just think they cannot be used. Please guide, please bless. In Christ's name and for Christ's sake, amen. I'd like you to take your bulletin and flip over onto the back, and I want to give you a couple of words that I want you to write here in just a minute. I like reading about Saul here. Saul starts out, and he has a good beginning. And I like to read about people that have a good beginning, don't you? And he was obedient to his father, and he's a grown man, and he's obedient to his father, and he takes care of looking for the animals of his father. But he was also a very considerate young man. He got to the point where he realized, no, wait a minute, we're looking for property. We're looking for my dad's animals. We're looking for property. But my dad is going to be worried about us more than his lost property. And he had a concern, and he knew how to sort out what was valuable in life. And property is important. Property is valuable. But property is never as valuable as people are. Keep that straight in life. Both are important. If you've ever got to make a choice between people and property, choose people every time, especially your family. And so he was obedient. He was considerate. He was perceptive that it was good to go to the man of God. He knew that the man of God had something from God. He was perceptive. He followed good advice. And so he has a good beginning. And so, but his good beginning is not, you know, some of you have had a good beginning. I've had a good beginning. I was raised in a preacher's home. Some of you were raised in church. You have godly family members, and some of us have had a good beginning, but it's more than just a good beginning. Anybody that has had a good beginning was not about your mama, was not about your papa, it wasn't about your family, it was all about the good grace of God. God's grace, you know, I don't know why and when some folks get saved, but, you know, the gospel came into Jennifer and Shelley's home when their mother was, how old, about 40? 40 years old, she got saved. It rippled through the whole family. The whole family got saved. They all married Christian people. They're all in the work of the Lord today. But it's just an amazing thing. But good beginnings are not because of us. Any good beginning is because of God's grace. Saul was born, this intro, Saul was born into the tribe of Benjamin. And Saul's father, Kish, was also born into the tribe of Benjamin and into the nation of Israelite. And the tribe of Benjamin belonged to the nation of Israel, and that was a nation that God started. It wasn't about Saul. It wasn't about Kish. It was about God. And good beginnings have to be traced back to God's grace, my friend. Good beginnings have to be traced back to God's grace. All good beginnings start with God. Do you believe that? There is no such thing as a good beginning without God. I take you all the way back to the beginning, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, what? God created. And at that moment, all of the good things that we enjoy in this world, God spoke them into existence, and all good beginnings start with God. James says in the New Testament near the end, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from where? From above, from whom? From the Father of lights. Even people that don't believe in God and are succeeding in this world and have wealth and fame and power, God gave them their existence. He gave them their intellect. He gave them their body. He gave them the power to make wealth. God is the originator of all good beginnings. Amen? All good beginnings start with God. You say, Pastor, everybody doesn't have such a good beginning as Saul did. Everybody wasn't born into the tribe of Israel. Everybody's not born into a Christian home. You're right. But I believe that God gives anyone the opportunity to start over with God when they want to. And that's the process. That's the process of being born again. Isn't being born again like the greatest start over ever, you know? Do you ever wanted to start over in life? I do. Sometimes I'm doing a project. I just want to start over. Well, I believe that anybody that wants to know the truth, God will bring the truth to them, and they can be saved, and they can be born again. And some of you are first-generation Christians in your family. And you didn't have a spiritual beginning, but God allows anyone that will believe the gospel start over fresh with God, and being born again is a brand new start, and that's a fresh start that anybody can have with God. And so he had a good beginning. And it all went back to God's grace. I want you to take on your bulletin there on the back, and I want you to go to the top left hand corner, and I want you to write down 1 Samuel 9, just the address, 9:15. Okay, 1 Samuel 9:15. Okay, in that portion of the scriptures, God informs Samuel that a young man is going to come in the next day, and he is going to be the anointed of God. So in 9:15, I want you to write down that God informs Samuel of Saul. Okay? At this point, Saul is oblivious to this. He doesn't have a clue what God has planned for his life. Now, on the bottom down here, nor I want you to put 9:27. 9:27. And that is the point where Samuel reveals to Saul God's will. Okay? So here you have Samuel reveals God's will to Saul. Look, I've decided just to pull out all the stops today and just go high tech. You've heard of the big screen? You've heard of HD? Yeah, this is getting good, isn't it? Yeah. Probably got a glare back there. Can't even see what's going on, right? So here is Saul over here. He's just living his life. He's in the daily routine. He's doing his job. He's going to work. He's obeying his father. He's hunting for lost animals. Over here, you've got God's perfect will that had already been given to the man of God, Samuel, for this young man who doesn't have a clue what is coming. Here is my question. How in the world? God has so many things planned for every person. He did not know that he was going to be from a nearly extinct tribe, and they were going to produce the first king of Israel, and that it was going to be him. He had no clue. How does a person find what God has for them when they're just going to work every day? They're doing their duties. They're doing laundry, folding socks, washing the car, taking care of business. 1 Samuel 9 gives us clear examples of what Saul had to go through to find God's will, and God's will would come through the man of God. I want you to write, I'm going to give you like four big words here. Would you write down the word contact? Contact. The first thing that Saul had to experience was contact with the man of God who had the word of God. Okay? Saul had to come into contact with the man of God who had the word of God and had the will for his life. If he hadn't crossed paths with Samuel, he would have never known that God had chosen him. Contact. Somehow he's got to come in contact with a man of God who has the word of God. That's been God's plan since the beginning. God chooses men and he calls them and he equips them and he gives them his word. And it is a special purpose person to give the people that God loves his word so people can know all that God has planned for their life. That's a general synopsis of why God gave prophets and apostles and evangelists and pastors. And so throughout the course of life, I just want to remind you that God has planned for every man to have their own man of God. God's plan is for every man and woman and family to have their own man of God to help them in their life. That's God's plan. Finding in the course of life the man of God that God has for every man. You say, what do you mean? It is God's plan, even in this day, in the church age, in the authority of the church and the pastor and the people and the deacons, it is God's plan that you have your own man of God. I would never go to this passage and just preach on this, but I'm so glad we're going through this. And this truth just jumped out at me. It is, you know, Ephesians 4:11 describes God's provision of every person, so every person can have their own man of God. Ephesians 4:11, and he, God, gave some, the Bible says apostles, some of God's people in the first century had the privilege to have their own apostle. That's cool. That's cool. That is amazing. That's better than having a cottage. That's better than having a boat or a pontoon or a motorcycle. I mean, can you imagine having the Apostle Peter as your preacher? Can you imagine having Paul as your pastor? Whoa. And so some had apostles. Some of God's people had an apostle as their man of God. And the Bible says, and he, God, gave some prophets. And some people had prophets. Wouldn't it have been an amazing thing to be under the leadership of Samuel? Or some of the other prophets? And remember, they asked for a king. And Samuel says, you don't want a king. God doesn't want you to have a king. They says, we're going to have a king. We want to be like everybody else. He says, okay, here are the rules of kings. If you get a king, he takes your sons. He takes your daughters. He takes your animals. He takes your crops. He takes your grains. He takes. And says, sounds good to us. We want what we want. And so Samuel says, okay. God says, give them what they want. By review, what we never should want in life is what we really want in life that God says you shouldn't have in life. And so Samuel, I would have loved to have been under a prophet, a miracle-working prophet. And God says, God just wants you to know about your decision. He says, isn't it today wheat harvest? Yeah, today's wheat harvest. He says, you're going to see the divine displeasure of God upon your decisions. And he says, and he called down to the Lord, and they had a gigantic storm, and it was like, whoa, I would have loved to have had I want to be on the prophet's side though, right? God gave some apostles to his people. God gave some prophets to his people. God gave some evangelists to his people. And God gave some pastors to his people. Now here's the funny thing. Human nature is, if you got a prophet, you wish you had an apostle. And lo and behold, if you had ever get stuck with a pastor, you certainly wish you had one of the other three. You know, well, if I could have had an apostle, that's just human nature. But God's plan is that we all have In the course of God's spiritual economy, contact with the man of God, and everybody has their own man of God, their own pastor, their own evangelist, their own prophet that can guide them with God's word. That's God's plan. Saul had to come in contact with a man of God who had the word of God. And that was different in those days. You've all got 35 copies of your own Bible. You know all of God's word. I don't have any of God's word that you don't have of God's word, but that doesn't change anything. Every Christian that is saved and born again needs to be a part of a church and enjoy God's wonderful provision that God has given you, your own man of God. It's wonderful. I have had 4 men of God in my life as pastors that have dramatically shaped my life. My dad sits right there. He was the first. I had the privilege to grow up in a Christian home. My dad was a pastor. He not only preached God's word 4 times a week, he lived God's word 7 days a week. And my dad has shaped my life in an immeasurable way. God gave me my father as a man of God, and I don't know where my life would be if I hadn't come in contact with a man of God who had the word of God to give me my foundation. Because when I drifted from God for about a year and got out of church, when God finally began to speak to my heart that the world is an awfully empty place to be, and you know what is right, you better get yourself back into a church. It was a good day when I walked back into a Baptist church in Memphis, Tennessee, and there was Pastor Tom Lancaster, and there was the man of God with the word of God, and he helped me get my feet going again. It's God's plan, and he was my man of God for about 2 months. I then moved to Cherry Point, North Carolina, and I determined in my heart that when I got there, I was going to be all up for God. It was time to stop messing around. I was going to be there for God. And I checked in. I talked to the chaplain, and I says, I'm looking for a Baptist church. Out of the blue, he said, Grace Baptist Church in Morehead City, North Carolina. We're in Havelock. That's two cities away. I looked it up, and I went there. And that man of God, Brother Clyde Eburn, molded my life in an amazing way. And I was there for 3 years, and my life exploded spiritually. I didn't come apart. My life just began to grow in great, great amounts, and that became my foundational growth. Got out of the Marine Corps, moved back home, and got a job in Griffith, Indiana. And Pastor Michael Poole became my personal man of God for 3 years. There's nothing like having your own man of God. Nothing like it. I've been where you are. I hope I can be for you what others have been for me. You know that? I hope that I can give you the word of God and shape your life and let God dramatically make you over into a different person than you were before you came in contact with the man of God and the word of God. Or if you're already very, very mature, may God add to your life. And Pastor Poole loved me and taught me. And he was my man of God for 3 years. And then God called us to go to Crown College, and we moved to Tennessee. And there, Pastor Sexton, in 10 years, unbelievably tooled and chiseled and taught. And much of what I am today goes to that decade with Pastor Clarence Sexton. And Samuel would have never found God's will for his life had he not come in contact with a man of God who says, You are going to be the next king of Israel. Contact with a man of God. Look, we all know that every apostle, every pastor, every man of God, it's not so much a spiritual status. It's a job that God has given certain men. We all know that men of God are men of clay and have tongues of flesh, but they also have words from heaven. It's not about the apostle. It wasn't about Peter. It wasn't about Paul. It wasn't about Samuel. It was about the wonderful words of God that they could give to God's people. Every judge of the 12, you know, God raised up 12 different judges, and every person had, you know, their own judge, their own man of God. A man of God that is not perfect, which is all of us, A man of God that is not perfect can still give you the perfect Word of God. You know? A man of God that is not perfect can still give you the perfect Word of God. God's plan is that His men that deliver His Word be blameless. That's God's plan. God's provision is that His Word is absolutely perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. Okay? There's an interesting note how Saul contacted Samuel, the man of God, and he did it by seeking the man of God. Samuel is over here with all that God has for this young man, and Samuel didn't go hunting down Saul. Saul went looking for the man of God. That's interesting. I've chased down so many people. Man, God's got a plan for your life. If you just come to church, hey, come, I'll go after him. We've chased kids that have been on the bus to 3 or 4 different cities. We've picked them down by the kind of car they drive. We find them. When you come to church, we put tracers on your car. We can find you. We've chased people down. Some of you have had pastors chase you down. Christians, that's wonderful. But here, Saul had enough of a foundation to know that God's man had something to benefit his life, and he seeks, actually, Samuel. You say, Pastor, what if the man of God is not anywhere close to what he should be? Is that reason for me just to say, you know what? He's corrupt. His family's corrupt. I'm done. Is that a viable reason for any Christian to check out of serving a marvelous God, even if the pastor is actually corrupt and his kids are wicked? Didn't we read about Eli? Eli was the man of God with a lot of problems. His boys were as evil as the day is long. They took bribes. They corrupted the very people that came. They were so vile, they caused the people of God to abhor coming to church. Is that still a viable reason? I mean, do you know that some people don't have 15 churches to choose from in their town? Do you know you go some places in America and people have like one choice of a good Baptist church? You understand that? What do you do? If you ever are unfortunate to be in a situation where there's corruption abounding, I want to take you straight back to 1 Samuel 2:2, where it says, neither is there any God like our rock. Don't ever let a man of God that's got some sin get your eyes off of the perfect rock of God. The rock of God was in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And even in the day, Eli was Hannah's man of God. Correct? His boys, Hophni and Phinehas, who had no respect for God, didn't even know God, those were the men of God for Hannah and for Elkanah and for her husband. Those were the men of God on scene at that time. Yet even Eli, whose whole house was cut off because he compromised and honored his sons above the Word of God, even Eli had enough sense that when Hannah was here at the altar praying, he perceived that she was hungry for God. And when he found out she wasn't drunk and she was petitioning for God's blessing, he blessed her and he says, God's going to give you a son. Eli raised Samuel. Don't get super frustrated with flaws and problems that men of God have, because, you know, the people of God have problems too. I was back here at the bulletin board years ago, and we had a visiting family, and I just throw this in for fun. And I was trying to get them to come back to church, and they had an attitude about churches, I could tell already. Attitude about preachers. And I said, well, you know, there's no perfect pastor, and there's no perfect people. This is no perfect church. There's no perfect pastors. I says, you are very right, and there are no perfect church members. If people would only put themselves under the same scrutiny that they put everybody else under. And I still like John Hagee, who says, if somebody says, I'm not coming to church, there's too many hypocrites, say, it's okay. We got room for one more. Now, we're introducing this whole thing, and I just want to show you one. Would you write down the next word, continue, quickly. Write down continue. Not only did he have to contact the man of God, he had to hang around for a while. He had to continue with Saul. With Samuel. Samuel said, you need to stay with me today, and you need to stay with me tomorrow, in verse 19. Stay with me today, and stay with me tomorrow. If at that point Saul says, I don't have time for 2 days. Do you know a lot of people come in contact with the right man and the right word and the right church, but they just don't have enough time. Many Christians today are missing the will of God for their lives because they don't have 2 days for God. They're too busy. If you're too busy for God, you're too busy. If you're too busy for the house of God, for the church of God, for the man of God, for the word of God, recalibrate everything in your life down to the core. He had contact with a man of God who had the word of God for his life, but he continued with him for a couple of days. And one of the most amazing things is, as he stayed with him for a couple of days, Saul reveals to him the general plan for his life. And he says in verse 20, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? He says, this nation is wanting a king. And who's it on? He said, it's on you. And God has chosen you to be the first king. And Saul says in verse 21, am not I a Benjamite? And when he said, am I not a Benjamite, he was saying, the last thing that happened in our tribe that was big and notable and everybody heard about it was a disgrace. Our tribe was nearly wiped out in Judges chapter 20 because our tribe protected a couple of innocent men and we went to fight with all of Israel, and our tribe, the last thing that happened in our tribe was shameful. God would never choose somebody from the tribe of Benjamin again. Benjamin, the tribe of Benjamin carried with it a stigma, had a foul taste, had a bad taste, and it was like, Nazareth? Nazareth? I mean, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And he was saying, wait, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, and the last thing that we did was awful. We went to war, a costly war, and we defended vile men. And he says, not only did we have a big, big problem, he says, I am from the smallest of the tribe. And I want to tell you that his tribe reached near extinction. Would you please write that down? Near extinction. Near extinction. His tribe about was destroyed completely. 600. There were only 600 men that survived out of the tribe of Benjamin out of 26,700. That's not a good survival rate. Israel came against them with 400,000 men. 400,000. 600 men escape and they run all the way, and they hide in the caves. They travel way up east, and they go hide in the rock ribbon. That tribe experienced a 98% reduction in destruction. 98% of that tribe was wiped out in 2 days. There was a 2% survival rate in that rock ribbon. God has always been into remnants. God has always loved to go to something that looks like it's about ready to die and resurrect and take something from near extinction to grand distinction. They had a 2% survival rate. If, I mean, the odds of God choosing a Benjamite. There were only 600 of them. And so if you take this 600 here and you factor it in with the other 360,000 men that are in all of Israel, the chance that God would come by and choose any of them was right there. 1/10 of 1% chance that God would come and choose a Benjamite whose tribe had a nasty history, a wicked history. And when he says, I'm a Benjamite, he was saying, man, you don't know my past. I know my past really well. There's no way God is going to allow the first king of Israel to come out of the tribe of Benjamin. And God says, guess again. The tribe of Benjamin that has reached near extinction is going to produce the first king of Israel. And the first king of Israel was a clear distinction. Would you write over here somewhere else, clear distinction? Clear distinction. For the tribe of Israel, for the tribe of Benjamin to produce the first king of Israel was an incredible distinction. You know, people talk about, I tried to look up small towns or small places that have produced great things. People talk all the time about, what city produced the hamburger? Our town, some town produced a hamburger, right? And you watch on, have you ever seen a history or like on the Food Network where they go and they talk about where the sandwich came from and they get into all the history? They talk about the sliced bread. How many of you have seen the history of the sandwich? You're spiritual people. You like to eat, right? That was a joke, by the way. Our town produced the sandwich. Our town produced the French fry. Our town produced two presidents. Go to Galena, Illinois. They produced Grant. Our town produced Edison. Our town produced, and on the distinctions go. Our town produced the first king of Israel. We were nearly extinct. And God looked on us in his grace and we became clearly distinguished. We're about gone. I'm here to remind you and encourage you that God loves to take people and places that know they're unworthy and they don't think that God would ever come through their town. And he likes to come up and knock on their heart's door and say, everybody's told you you're done. You told yourself you're done. The devil's told yourself you're done. But I want you to know that the heart of God is on you. Isn't that amazing? You know, God is into things that are, I like the story that Jesus says, if there is a smoking flax, I'm not going to stomp it out. If there's a smoldering wick, and it's about out of oil, and it's about out of flame, and it's still just there's just a little bit of a flame there, I'm not going to come and just stomp on it. I'm going to add a little bit more oil. I'm going to fan that flame, and near extinction can turn into clear distinction for God. The woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years thought she was about a goner. And she met Jesus, and she's in the Word of God for all of us. Isn't the story of Rahab, the girl whose town was on the demolition list? And her town was near extinction, and it was totally destroyed. But didn't God bring her grand distinction after near extinction? And wasn't she the great-grandmother of King David, the second king and the greatest king in Israel? God loves to come into our lives and into anybody's life after we said, I've blown it. I'm done. I never deserve to serve God again. And God says, I've got some other thoughts for you. Your life is a smoking wick. You ever been there? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you do. You think, I don't know that God will ever use me again. Nearly extinct and then grand distinction. You know, those 600 men that went and hid in caves, in chapter 9 and verse 1, it lists five men. Then it lists Saul's name here. Kish, Kish's dad, Kish's grandfather. I think by doing the genealogies and doing the times, one of Saul's grandparents, one of Saul's fathers would have had to have been in the cave. Of those 600 men, he was a Benjamite. He knew his history. Samson was the last judge. The death of the end of Samson and the beginning of the life of Saul as king is only like 15 years apart, 20 years apart. I don't know if it's possible that Kish, I think Saul was 30 when he became king, so I don't think that it would have been his father that would have escaped and lived in the rock. But it might have been Saul's granddaddy that experienced God's grace. And he survived. And these 600 men are out there with no wives and no children and no sons. And no hope of continuing as a tribe. And if the other people of Israel had not been gracious to them and supplied them with wives, their lives were spared. They got remarried. They had children. And one day, Saul was born. And this nearly extinct tribe will carry forever the distinction of producing the first king of the nation of Israel. Let me say this. If God has saved you, if you're saved, you are in a minority. I told the teens this morning, most of the people you go to school with and you work with don't know Jesus. They don't know Christ. They don't know how to live for the Lord anymore. If you are saved, you are in a remnant in our country anymore. If God has reached down and saved your soul, and God has delivered you, don't waste your life. These men produced the first king. If God has saved you, you are in as small of a place as a rock remnant if you just look at the population. Make your life count for God. I just praise God that what was nearly extinct, God caused a grand comeback. And the tribe of Benjamin, I think, had their greatest comeback ever. The Bible says that there's more hope of a living dog than of a dead lion. If there is life and breath in somebody's heart, there's hope. And all God's people said, amen, amen. I want you to come and get ready to sing, Jennifer. Amy, would you come up and get ready to sing? I don't know where you are in your attitude or your expression towards the value of the man of God in your life. We are undergoing anarchy in the churches in America. And people don't think they need the preacher anymore. I'll just be honest with you. They don't think they need the church. They don't think they need the man of God. We got too many Christians flying solo. They're doing their own thing. If the preacher left, moved out of town, they wouldn't give a rip. I mean, they just think they can operate on. We got too many solo pilots out there trying to fly without radar, trying to fly with. I mean, it's a shame in the Laodicean age, the attitude that some Christians have towards the man of God. The man of God is your friend. He doesn't carry syphilis. I'm not poisonous to your family. I'm not a threat to your family. The man of God is your friend. And he has the word of God. I don't if you shake hands with me, you're not risking getting AIDS. The man of God is your friend, is the church's friend. And if you know somebody who has an attitude about churches or preachers, you gotta show them what you learned today. Oh, most men of God have given their entire life for the people of God. And the Word of God is the wonderful thing that we can pass on to to God's people. Kids, I want you to sing Jennifer this song, and then I'll give a closing remark.
Hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary.
For me
he died.
For me
he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. No merit of my own, his anger to suppress. My only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness.
For me
he died.
For me
he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. And now for me he stands before the Father's throne.
Invitation hymn for us this morning. I don't know how God has spoken to your heart this morning. There was a little city, and it was the house of David, a little town called Bethlehem. And the grand glory of that city was a thing of the past. And right before the Messiah was born, Bethlehem was described as a giant tree that had been cut down. It was a stump. And all the former glory had gone, and nobody expected anything to come out of Bethlehem. But God says, I'm going to take a branch, a root, a stem is going to grow out of that trunk. Have you ever seen a stem or a new branch grow out of a trunk? There's still life there. God says, I'm going to cause the rod of Jesse, I'm going to cause the branch of righteousness to grow out of that. And that little town that was so done, didn't produce a scientist, didn't produce a president, didn't produce a Nobel Peace winner, produced the Messiah. Out of thee shall he come, whose goings forth have been of old. God is in the business of restoring people. Isn't that wonderful? Things that are nearly just extinct, from extinction, to clear distinction. Play something for us, Amy. I don't know what's on your heart. This is invitation time. If God has spoken to your heart, I I want you to use these altars. Let's spend a few moments in prayer and ask God to help us. All heads bowed, eyes closed. Speak to God. We're all in a different place with God. You might be at a place where you think, you know what? I don't think I can have a recovery. This message today was for you. If next month brings you terrible spiritual disaster, then this message is for you or for I. But there is no such thing as a person who cannot be recovered that knows the Lord. May grand distinction come out of near extinction. If you've never received Christ as your personal Savior, make this the greatest day of your life and call upon Christ's name and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I believe Christ is the Son of God. Please come into my heart and save my soul. Speak to the Lord and ask Him to work in somebody's life. If your life is on track, if you're very far from being extinct, if you are just fruitful, I'm sure you know someone. I'm sure you know someone in your family, in my family, in this church, that seems so far from God, you've already written them off. Would you pray for them now in this moment? Don't think just about yourself. Think about others. Pray for a minute for somebody who really needs God to come by and encourage them and say, you know what? You're about gone. But Jesus lives and you live and there's hope. Father, I want to thank you today for the hope that the Word of God brings to all people. And Lord, the tribe of Benjamin, they knew they had blown it very recently. Yet you and your divine love and wisdom and orchestration of events called Saul, who never thought he'd get a divine invitation to be the first distinguished king of Israel. God, we thank you for our good beginnings. We thank you for your grace that caused good beginnings. We thank you that we can start over with God today. Your word is so encouraging and so good. And we just want to give you praise and honor and glory. Work in lives, we pray. And we'll thank you for all that you've done. In Christ's name, amen. You can return to your seat as she plays this final verse. Aaron and Carly, is your wife still in there? Okay. Aaron, I want you just to go to the back door in the middle and stand there. The Word of God says to give honor unto whom honor is due. I already honored Brother Aaron. I want you to go by, and I want you to thank that man for what he's done for our church. Would that be okay? You got that? Is that okay? Is anybody here today? Don't freeze up on me. If I ask you a question, I want you to shake your head or do something. I'm very patient, but sometimes I want you to respond. Amen? Amen. Thank you. I want you to go over there and honor this man. You got it? Amen. All right. Very good. All right. I hardly ever say anything, but sometimes I have flesh too. You have an imperfect man of God. Amen. That's a good point to say amen right there. So, Aaron, thank you for what you've done. Don't feel bad about being there. We want to honor you. Tell Carly, too, great job, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. God bless you. We'll talk tonight about God giving us another heart, and that's a great change. May God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you.